On last night's primetime, tension between some members of the travelling community and local authorities was highlighted, particularly in relation to the issue of housing. In Ennis in County Clare, some €200,000 worth of damage was done to the Ashline halting site near the town last week. That development is now vacant and closed, as is another nearby site called Beach Park. Now, Brian O'Connell spent yesterday in Ennis hearing the concerns of former residents at Ashline and also speaking with local council representatives, and he joins us now from the Cork studio. Brian, tell us about the latest incidents in Ennis. What exactly happened?
Well, as you said, Pat, they occurred in the Ashline estate, about €200,000 worth of damage. And in all, there are six halting sites in the Ennis environs. Four of them are working quite well, Pat. Indeed, one of them is close to my parents' home and it's been very, very successful. In Shannon as well, I understand, there's another halting site and attached to it is a very good horse project, which the Traveller Group are running. But two of the sites in Ennis have been subjected to persistent vandalism, arson, and are currently not being lived in, despite a significant investment by the local council. Now, Ashline has been a site for decades, but local councillor Brian Meaney, he likened it to a war zone last week, while Beach Park, which is a relatively new site, Pat, that was also vandalised and it has been renovated by the council. I started the day in Ennis by meeting with former TD and local Ennis councillor James Breen at the Ashline site.
It's distressing to the state of this halting site with us. All the houses boarded up and two of them destroyed in an arson attack last weekend or the weekend before. So it's just very distressing, very, very upsetting. And I mean, it has to stop. Oh, it's mind-boggling and unwanted vandalism. It's a disgrace to be destroying the property we have provided at an awful lot of money. This site costs in excess of 4.5 million. And now it is reduced to a shambles. Travellers have moved into settled accommodation are behaving very, very well. So it's unfortunate that a small minority are not behaving. There's an ongoing Garda investigation into this site here in Ashline. And hopefully the perpetrators of this unwanted vandalism will be brought to justice.
Going back over the years, James, say 20 years ago, was this kind of thing going on here?
No, it certainly was not. It was not. The travelling people behaved very, very respectably in those days. They lived on the side of the road. They didn't mix middle and weaker than anyone. But I remember the first time halting sites was introduced, the minister of the day said there would be no one living in the side of the road. I think he put a mind span at about 20 years. That's back in the 60s. Travellers still want to live on the side of the road. And what can you do? It's very, very hard to comprehend that type of thing, you know.
Well, Brian, last night on primetime, we showed an incident in Clare where travellers had been burnt out by travellers and also an incident in Donegal where it's thought that other people, non-travellers, had destroyed a house that travellers were just due to move into. This is being investigated in Clare. We don't know who's responsible.
We don't know yet, Pat. All right. We don't know.
Do we know how much it cost?
Well, the capital costs at the Ashline halting site are somewhere in excess of 1.7 million since 2001. Not to mention, Pat, the yearly maintenance costs. Now, at Beach Park, which isn't very far away, they had to install security at one point, and there was some mention that it was costing about €3,000 a week to secure that site. Now, I was curious, Pat, because as I said, four of the sites near Ennis are working well. So what is it about these two sites that made them uninhabitable?
So what you do? You spoke to a former resident of Ashline, Margaret Quinn.
Yeah, Margaret Quinn, and she told me about what it was like living there. She lived there for 3 years.
Very confined. Very, very confined. It was like being in prison, being honest. And it really, really was solitary confinement when they build up the walls, when they build the new houses. It was a very small patch where there was over, I think at one stage there was about 40 small children with no play area, nowhere for them to go. So you can picture 40 children on a small patch of ground. What kind of fights and what kind of arguments it was causing. Oh, I went into Ashline as a temporary basis for 6 months. But I was in it 3 years and almost lost two of my kids inside it. I almost lost one child to hanging, where he was nearly hung inside it. Another, the same little boy, when they were digging up Ashline, 6 foot holes they had deep in my backyard, my child fell over on a bike, went into a pothole, fell over, cut all his private nets, then an emergency operation. So Ashline was only a temporary thing for me for 6 months. I was there 3 years and when I begged, I cried to the council that I didn't want to be there. But when I left, they said, I made myself homeless. I done it to myself. Never wanted to go in the first place. Not due to the people that were in it, But just the sight, I didn't want to be mixed up in any kind of a sight. I didn't want to bring my kids up in that environment whatsoever.
And what's the ideal kind of a sight for people who mightn't understand? Like, what are the things that should be in a sight?
Well, if they're going to build a sight, let it be just one family sight. And let there be a play area for kids. Don't hide people away. Like, there's no need of building up 8 and 10 foot walls around us. As I say, we're human beings. We're like everybody else. We're not animals. Don't cage us away. And if they're going to cage the elders away, don't cage the kids away. Because they are, in 10 years down the line, they're not going to be able to mix with the settled community because they want to have. I don't think there should be any sites. My opinion, I don't think anyone should be in a site. I think they should be mixed among the settled community. Let us all live together. I don't think there's many at this day and age that do want sites. It's very, very few that will want the site at this day and age. We all want, like, our freedom.
Yeah, and I have to say, Pat, I mean, I'm obviously not an architect, but neither the Ashline or Beach Park sites seem particularly well designed to me. Ashline in particular, I thought, it felt very boxed in when you stood in the middle of it. Houses around it kind of looked down on top of the site and there was very little recreational space, as Margaret said. Beach Park as well, it's hidden out of the way. It's got a long driveway that I know some persons didn't agree with. And from the travellers that I met, they told me that they didn't like this feeling of confinement or being too detached. So those design traits that are in Beach Park and Ashline, they're not represented in the four successful sites around Ennis.
It's interesting listening to Margaret, who wants integration with the settled community, because there is a debate within the travelling community. Some people want, you know, that they all live together as travellers, all different families in their own enclaves, and others want total integration with the settled community. Anyway, Margaret introduced to her mother, Kitty. She's 71 years of age and also without a home at the moment.
Yeah, Margaret's mum and her older brother also live with Margaret and her family, and they had to move out of their own home on the Watery Road area of Ennis following flood damage some years ago, and they've been unable to move back in, but they dearly would like to. So I began by asking Margaret's mum about her own experience living in Halton sites. And your daughter was saying there how most people now would prefer to be in a house as opposed to be on a site. Is that, that's changed, hasn't it, over the years?
Yeah, well, it might, but I wouldn't live in a site either, not to be honest. No, I wouldn't live in a house. If I got a good house, I wouldn't live in it. No, I'd prefer my own house, but I was used to it. That must be 35 years living. And I'd prefer my own house the other back. But I wouldn't live in sites, no, to be honest.
And did you years ago?
Well, I did for a short while, but I wasn't happy in it. I wasn't happy in the site. And my son went away one day and I didn't see him anymore.
Brian, as my mother speaks there now of her son going away, that was from Ashline. My mother and father lived in Ashline. My 14-year-old brother left the Ashline to go to the handball alley, which would be on the Limerick Road. He was killed instantly. That was the last she'd ever see him, to go and play a ball. She never liked sights. None of my family was ever brought up in a sight. We don't like sights. We think they're a nuisance, being honest. They're not any trouble. Anyone, if you're going to bring three or four different families of three or four different generations into the site, you are asking for trouble. There's a lot of travellers afraid to speak. I'm not one of them. I'm not afraid to speak. I'll speak my mind and I'll say what I have to say. If they want to mix families and sites, why not build one transy site in Ennis, like they did have, where travellers could come and go? If there was an argument, they could move out. They weren't making themselves homeless.
That's very interesting, Brian, about the difference between a permanent halting site where people have their home and it's their permanent home versus a transient one, which is almost like a sort of a B&B.
Yeah, well, what they were saying to me is that permanent halting sites were being treated sometimes as transient ones, and that was causing tensions within the site where maybe you had several different families. I know, for example, in parts of Europe, where there are specific transient sites, you can come and go, and they're very tightly controlled. You have to hand your driving licence to the local Gardaí and so on. We don't have any of those types of transient sites in Ireland, and as you identified, the housing needs are complex.
Yeah, I was, just as an aside, Margaret's mother, Kitty, had to leave her home because of flooding, and where is she living? Watery Road.
I mean, it's like, joined the dots.
What do you expect? Yeah, and the members of the travelling community that you met, Brian, were they all totally against permanent halting sites?
Well, some weren't, Pat. For example, Tom McCarthy, who I spoke to next, he believed that sites would be fine if they were set up right, and he held a local county council accountable for some of the issues in Innes. So both he and Margaret felt there should be better consultation.
There's nothing for travellers to do in this town. Only put us into the site a half mile away from the main road. So when our kids grow up, then they're just like prisoners. When they run out onto the road, how is they going to mix with buffer people? But the buffer people don't want to mix with us. because they think they're hearing too much about travelling people. So it's not fair on our kids and neither, so it's not.
When they're building these sites and the people they're putting into them, all they need to do is plan it. Sit down and plan it. I know what they say, right, there's a lot of work gone into it. There has been a lot of work. But yet they haven't discussed it with the travelling community. They haven't asked their opinion on it. Asked, well, would you like these people to be in beside you? Because it's not fair. If I'm in a site for 10 or 12 years, and if the council link and shove someone in that I don't agree with, it's not fair that these people comes in unannounced, unexpected to me. I made my opinions quite clear to the council that I didn't want to go into Ashline, and that I didn't feel comfortable going in, or I didn't feel comfortable with my kids. So they needn't say, everyone don't tell them what's going on. I'm a person that did. Couldn't handle no more of it after 3 years. I couldn't take no more whatsoever. It was either take my kids out or I'd end up losing one of them. And I wasn't willing for the same thing, history to repeat itself like I did with my mother. I wasn't prepared whatsoever for that.
Basically, I blame the council for the sites being vandalism because they're moving in people that's not even from Clare, because too many strange people in this town. And when they meet them, they're causing fights and arguments and all that. As I said, those new people has moved into this town with their young fellas even growing up today. The ones trying to make names for themselves or whatever. And this is how this trouble is related. My point of view, when I blame the council. I don't blame the people at all. Because if they weren't left in this town, they wouldn't be doing this. So they wouldn't. And the people of the town could get on with their lives. Because the men in the 80s, the 90s, exactly, wasn't never a word in this town. So everyone is speaking out loud. I'm not able. Sweating out, starting to pour me because I was in that beer house last night.
you're in rough shape.
No, I'm in rough shape this morning. So I am.
Brian, that's extraordinary, though. Not blaming the people who are the cause of the trouble, blaming the council instead. I mean, this is trouble between travellers.
Yeah, I mean, there are some tensions or feuds developing as different families move into areas, as that man said. But that is a problem not unique to Ennis, obviously. And the feuding has become quite public in Ennis in recent years with large altercations in the streets. But, I mean, the council can't really be aware of every single feud that's happening within an area to give them their due.
Now, the council has invested significant sums of money in these sites, both the initial capital cost and then the maintenance and the upkeep and the repairs and addressing, you know, the damage that has been done. What are they now saying about the issue and the fact that two developments which cost a lot of money are now derelict?
Well, the council has a local traveller accommodation consultative committee, but I understand that two traveller representatives on that committee are no longer willing to take part.
Why not?
Well, they just don't feel their views are being represented. And they have council have also taken on these extra security measures on sites where there has been damage. So there have been amendments to the traveller accommodation programme in Clare, with 18 group scheme houses, I understand, constructed under the current programme. But I suppose, Pat, the council would argue they are doing all they can with their limited and finite resources to house persons and meet their needs, but that the vandalism is obviously a criminal act and they cannot keep refurbishing houses that are being burned in some cases by travellers themselves. There is a certain view that some travellers are making themselves homeless so that they will eventually get a better type of accommodation. Now, Niall O'Keefe, he's the administrative officer for Ennis Town Council. He explained their new approach.
In Ennis at the moment, as I say, we have four of these sites dotted around Ennis which are working very well. We have two problem sites. We have one practically refurbished and ready to go with a few small cosmetic repairs required. We have CCTV now installed and live and recording and whatever else. We need to engage with the traveller community as regards getting that particular site occupied. If we can do that, we can then look at a place like this and move forward with refurbishing a place like this at colossal expense.
Yeah, you're going to commit more funds now to something that could be burnt down again in 6 months' time.
Well, we will not commit funds if we are of the view that it's going to be burnt again.
Okay, so that's a policy change, is it, by Clare County Council. You're not going to commit any more funds until you're certain, reasonably certain, that something like this isn't going to happen.
Yeah, we will not be committing funds to a site such as this, which is the subject of regular arson attack.
And these arson attacks, have people been prosecuted?
No. The amount of information I understand available to the Gardaí is quite limited.
And one thing you could say, I know you've put CCTV into Beach Park, but some people might argue maybe surely that should have been in a long time ago.
Yes, I mean, there is a town CCTV scheme here. There is a community CCTV in another part of Ennis. Your point about it being introduced here belatedly is probably correct, but I suppose it's a last resort.
Meanwhile, this site has been empty since last November. Now, the families who are living here, they're dispersed around Ennis now, is that right?
That's correct. And most of them would be living with relations or in private rented accommodation, rent allowance. Obviously, emergency accommodation was required. They would qualify for rent allowance via the Department of Social Protection.
And how much money has Clare County Council spent over the recent years on traveller accommodation?
20 million in 10 years on the provision of six complexes such as this, plus, you know, a bit of refurbishment. It works out at close enough to 2 million a year. In addition to that, maintenance costs run 150,000 to 200,000 a year. And then on top of that, you have in some cases security costs. It is quite a drain on resources.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
It's a significant outlay. Finally, Pat, the last clip, I asked Councillor James Breen again whether the council should be doing more to try and resolve this issue.
If that fielding family is there, it's very hard to know whether they're fielding or not when you put them together. Then it materialises that they are. And the council know maybe they've done something wrong, but the council are not. The council don't know those things before they put the families together. We have at least, I suppose, 16 to 20 vacant houses now in the county. Some of them vandalised like this one here in front of us. And nobody living in them. And we have travellers living on the side of the road and they say that they can't get accommodation. We're prepared to provide the accommodation for them, provided they're prepared to respect it.
So should the council continue to provide traveller accommodation, new traveller accommodation into the future?
No, certainly not. Until such time as that, a mind change with certain members of the travelling community, then we should withdraw from providing traveller accommodation. We have done it. We have spent 20 million in the last 5 years providing traveller accommodation in this county. And obviously, that's 20% of it at this point in time damaged. Some of them damaged beyond repair. That we cannot continue to abuse taxpayers' money like this in this county. It has to stop, and now is the time to stop it.
And that's Councillor James Breen. Some of the comments coming in. The whole concept of travellers complaining about having to conform is ridiculous. The rest of us have to pay tax, contribute to society and follow the rule of law. That's from Shay in Dublin. Another one, we will never solve the traveller problem, get true integration between the communities until we outlaw the use of caravans and mobile phones and disperse the travellers around the settled estates. That's from Colm. Liam says, we all have to change. The world moves on, so the travellers should. Feuds are crimes. They should be treated like the rest of us. Another one, so local authorities are to blame for travellers' inability to get along with each other. This is crazy stuff, according to Finn. In preparation for the primetime programme last night, we were looking back on the original policy for travellers, which was, I think, 40, 50 years ago. It was for integration and proper housing so that travellers' children would get proper health services, proper education and a chance in life and a chance to get off the road. That changed in the 80s where the whole idea of a travelling culture and being able to be a nomad became the vogue and is still espoused by a lot of travellers. They feel it's a way of life, it's a tradition, it's part of what it means in their view to be an ethnic group. But when you look at Ireland now and in the old days, you had caravans pulled by horses, slowly moving, move from community to community over a period of months. In, you know, in January they might be here, in March they might be there, in August they might be somewhere else, and they would provide services to the local community. Now you can drive the length and breadth of the country in 6 to 7 hours from top to tail on a motorway system. So in a high-ace van, you're not using the horses except for recreation. You know, things have changed.
Yeah, modernity is kind of done for the nomadic existence, hasn't it? Really, it's overtaken it in a way. But I think there has to be some way. I mean, like I said, there are six of these sites. Four of them are working really, really well. And there are ones where they have been able to respect some traveller traditions, such as horses, such as the need to create work on the site, green fields, and as well then to put a group scheme together. So I think it's trying to get that balance right, Pat, where you respect the traditions, but also realise that, you know, it's a time of dwindling resources. Travellers are the same as anybody else looking for local authority.
Yeah, just one comment from Marion in Ennis. So tired of travellers' rights. The rest of us have to work and get on with it. We are waiting 12 years for the council to take over our estate and they're throwing money at traveller sites. Why can't the able-bodied men of this ethnic group rebuild? After all, they get the houses free. That's Marion and Ennis. So that's something that'll never catch on. I don't think that council tenants who damage their homes put their own hard work into rebuilding them.
Well, no, and I should say, Pat, we reported from Innes a couple of weeks ago on private rental accommodation, and there are significant issues there as well. So I think it would be unfair for me to, you know, to try and put a spotlight on this part of Innes and say it's just related to traveller housing. It isn't. It's a problem right across Innes and many other towns in Ireland, both traveller, local authority and private rental accommodation.
All right. Thank you very much, Brian, for reporting from Innes and the goings on there.